Tonight, new video from inside that Southwest jet revealing the terrifying moments in the air.
Everybody breathe, relax.
And the new questions tonight over why airlines, including Southwest, asked for more time to get those engine blades checked before disaster struck. Shocking news about the death of Prince. Did the music superstar not know he was taking the powerful drug that killed him? What authorities have finally revealed. Growing outrage over a racist and a homophobic fraternity video prompting protests rocking a major college campus. A life-changing drug made from marijuana, a big step closer tonight to being in patients' hands.
This is a historical moment in American medicine.
And the police officer and the pickup game of hoops that has sparked a movement. Wait till you see what happened after the video that had so many people cheering.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. How many times have we heard it before, those pre-flight safety announcements, including the words, if there is a loss of cabin pressure, and instructions on how to don the oxygen masks. It's fair to assume no one aboard Southwest Flight 1380 on Tuesday knew how critical those instructions would become just 30 minutes later. Tonight, we're getting a riveting new look inside the cabin of the plane as flight attendants rush to calm and secure distraught passengers during its harrowing emergency descent. Our Tom Costello has details.
Tonight, new video of the terror on board Flight 1380 as flight attendants wearing oxygen masks shouted for everybody to breathe.
Everybody breathe.
The plane in a fast emergency descent after losing an engine and sucking passenger Jennifer Reardon partially out of a shattered window. As fellow passengers desperately performed CPR, the crew scrambled for a defibrillator, an AED.
The AED is in the front cabinet.
On the ground, investigators found a broken engine fan blade and signs of metal fatigue. In 2016, another fan blade broke off a Southwest engine. Last year, engine maker CFN pushed the FAA to order airlines to inspect certain fan blades within 12 months because the metal fatigue is likely to exist or develop in other products of the same type design. But citing the number of planes affected, Southwest was among several airlines to request more time. Now, the FAA says it will issue an urgent airworthiness directive for airlines to conduct ultrasonic tests like this one. Victor Aviation conducts similar tests in California looking for metal fatigue.
We're looking for a specific area of interest, a very small pinhole or crack, down to the size it could be less than a human hair.
Southwest and other airlines say they've already started inspecting their fan blades. Meanwhile, the photos of Southwest passengers improperly wearing their oxygen masks, not covering their noses, have veteran flight attendants issuing a warning.
Put those cell phones away, listen to the safety briefings, and in an emergency, listen to the flight attendant instructions. This is life or death.
Flight attendants say we should be covering our nose and our mask with our mouth with this mask, and put your mask on before a child's, because if the cabin loses pressure, you have seconds before you could lose consciousness. And finally, they say, forget the selfies, focus on saving your life. Lester?
Yeah, I think we'll all be paying closer to attention to those instructions. Tom, thank you. Stunning new revelations tonight of the death of music superstar Prince. Authorities revealed today that Prince might not have even been aware he was taking the extremely powerful drug fentanyl that killed him. A tragic turn and a high-profile case in the opioid crisis, highlighting the question how many addicts might not know what's really in the drugs they're taking. Here's NBC's Blake McCoy.
Tonight, prosecutors announcing no criminal charges in music superstar Prince's death after revealing he died from counterfeit Vicodin, unknowingly laced with one of the most powerful painkillers, fentanyl.
In all likelihood, Prince had no idea he was taking a counterfeit pill that could kill him.
After a two-year investigation, prosecutors unable to determine where it came from.
We have no direct evidence that a specific person provided the fentanyl to Prince.
Prince's doctor has denied any wrongdoing, but today agreed to a $30,000 fine and 2 years of monitoring for prescribing Percocet to Prince's longtime friend and bodyguard, allegedly for Prince's use. The famously private Purple Rain singer had been battling a secret opioid addiction after being treated for back pain. Newly released evidence today shows his lifeless body by an elevator in his Paisley Park home.
Prince's case is tragic, but not unique.
This is not unique whatsoever. We see this every day.
Hazelden Betty Ford says more and more people are taking counterfeit drugs and don't know what's in them.
Fentanyl is fairly easy to produce and it's fairly cheap. Also, because of the increased strength, it gets put into substances to increase the addiction potential.
Details of Prince's death have been hard on his family.
And I just was pissed at the fact that my cousin died like that. And then he's projected as some drugged out, you know, junkie, rich rock star. You know, he was at the top of his game.
A sad reminder tonight that addiction does not discriminate. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Chaska, Minnesota.
Let's turn now to the shocking video provoking outrage and protests at Syracuse University. A fraternity has now been suspended after members were seen using slurs and making obscene gestures on a tape that the university's chancellor calls, quote, extremely racist. NBC's Stephanie Goss has the story, and let me warn you, the video is disturbing.
Syracuse University suspended Theta Tau fraternity indefinitely after this video surfaced online.
Do you know what you signed up for today?
Large parts of it too offensive to show on TV.
Most importantly,
what was your first thought when you saw this video?
I was disgusted and nauseous. The behavior and words on the video are extremely racist, extremely anti-Semitic, extremely homophobic, hostile to people with disabilities.
On Wednesday, students protested in front of the chancellor's home.
We're talking about accessibility, we're talking about equality and equity.
Some students say this may be an extreme example, but reflects a campus-wide problem.
Whether they're gay, straight, like what color their skin are, like what ethnicity they are, like whether they're disabled or not, like you gotta learn how to accept it.
At the end of the day, it is not okay. And at the end of the day, it's not something that anyone would want or should want to see.
In a statement, Theta Tau fraternity writes in part, "The actions of these individuals are truly disgraceful. We're committed to investigating this situation thoroughly." The university says it's looking into possible disciplinary action.
I think this video indicates there are problems and that problems that need to be addressed, and we need to assess it.
The director, the national director of the Theta Tau fraternity, is on his way to Syracuse, while the chancellor here tells us that the university is going to be looking very closely at Greek life on campus to see if they need to make any changes, Lester.
All right, Stephanie Goss, thank you. Tonight, Philadelphia's police commissioner has issued a public apology to two men arrested at a Starbucks after asking to use the bathroom and refusing to leave. The video has sparked protests and calls for a boycott. Starbucks continues in major damage control mode, saying it will close its doors for part of a day coming up to train employees so this never happens again. Police Commissioner Richard Ross says he made the situation worse by initially saying the officers did nothing wrong. There is some breaking news on President Trump's legal team in the Mueller investigation. The president's searching for a new lawyer and turning to an old friend and former prosecutor to be by his side. Our White House correspondent Hallie Jackson is traveling with the president in Florida. Hallie, what's the latest?
Well, Lester, tonight the president is adding three new people to his legal team, including Rudy Giuliani, the former New York City mayor, former U.S. attorney, and longtime confidant of Donald Trump. The president himself referencing that in a statement out tonight, saying, "Rudy is great. He has been my friend for a long time and wants to get this matter quickly resolved for the good of the country." The president's legal team, as it relates to the special counsel investigation, shrank about a month ago, remember, apparently over disagreements on strategy. And the president hasn't had much success expanding his team, at least until today. Giuliani, by the way, Lester, has been spotted down here in West Palm Beach as the president spends his week at his Mar-a-Lago property nearby.
And Hallie, where do things stand on this potential summit between the president and Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, that's been another big focus for Donald Trump down here in South Florida this week. And tonight we have some new developments. North Korea has apparently dropped demands for all U.S. troops, about 28,000 of them, to leave South Korea, according to the South's president. And that would be a real concession, Lester, ahead of these unprecedented potential talks.
Hallie Jackson in Florida tonight. Thank you. Tonight, from Colorado to Oklahoma to Kansas, firefighters fighting to gain ground on major wildfires burning out of control. Dozens of homes have been lost. Hundreds of firefighters are working around the clock on little sleep. And this is just the beginning of a long fire season ahead. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has a look at the extreme conditions.
Across the West, explosive conditions on multiple fronts. Today, crews in western Oklahoma are fighting to gain ground on two large fires, fueled by a deadly combination of drought and powerful winds. At least two have been killed here, dozens of homes destroyed, the burn zone larger than New York City.
I've never seen anything so scary in my whole life.
With 11 million people facing elevated to extreme fire conditions tonight, crews are racing to battle several fires burning in western Kansas. In Colorado, more than 40,000 acres have burned, 23 homes destroyed, 1,000 forced to evacuate.
We had 50-foot flames moving at 35 miles an hour.
After one of the most destructive wildfire seasons last year, tonight firefighters are warning conditions across the West are ripe for disaster. And it's only April, this fire season already off to a fast and deadly start. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
There is breaking news coming out of Trenton, Florida tonight, where a gunman ambushed two sheriff's deputies who were inside a restaurant, shooting and killing them both through a window. When fellow deputies arrived at the scene, they found the shooter dead outside the restaurant. The sheriff's office says it does not yet know the motive for such a brazen attack. How do you or your children decide what to watch on YouTube? You may not have as much control as you think. An estimated 5 billion videos are viewed on YouTube every single day. But turns out the site is pushing content to you in ways that may not always be positive. Now, a former employee is telling all to NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent.
Former insiders say it's one of the secrets of YouTube, how they try to hook you and keep you watching. And it's right here on the side of the screen, the suggested content YouTube highlights.
If we look at leather.
So this is a news video.
But then it recommends like 10 reasons people believe the Earth is flat.
Maybe. Guillaume Chazelot worked at YouTube and its parent company Google as a software engineer until 5 years ago. He says YouTube wants to keep you on its site, often by suggesting additional content, even videos promoting conspiracy theories, because people tend to watch them longer.
We just searched NASA, and within one, two clicks, aliens, government lies, and potentially spying.
Exactly.
It's not everything YouTube suggests, but we found other recommendations generating similar false conspiracy theories alongside legitimate news and kids' videos. Searching Sandy Hook shooting at one point, and the top results included a 9/11 conspiracy video and claims the tragedy was a hoax. The problem, Chazelot says, lies in YouTube's algorithm.
Is YouTube basically recommending all of us videos just to keep us hooked?
Yes, exactly. They are not even the videos that you might want to watch, but they are the best to get you addicted.
The more videos you watch, the more ads you see. That equals more money for YouTube.
It's a problem throughout not just YouTube, but Google, Facebook, all these companies is that they've prioritized growth over anything else. But if growth is the goal, then user experience is not the goal.
Chazelot worked on a project to introduce more variety into results, but he says it was shut down because it wasn't good for watch time. He adds when he tried to keep it going, Google fired him. YouTube responded saying Google fired Chazelot for performance issues, adding that the recommendation system has changed substantially since Chazelot worked there, and it no longer optimizes only for watch time and now uses additional signals like surveys, likes, and dislikes. It says it has tweaked its algorithm to better show authoritative news sources and to focus on viewer satisfaction. But with fake news still making its way onto the site, a growing focus on YouTube as the world watches. Jolene Kent, NBC News, San Francisco.
There is much more ahead to tell you about, including pot for patients, a major step forward for what could become the first marijuana-based medicine approved by the government. Why it could be life-changing for those with some pretty serious disorders. Also, those who serve. We've got the inspiring story about what came next after video of an officer and kid shooting hoops went viral. We are back now with big medical news. Federal health officials now appear poised to give the green light to the first prescription medicine made with an ingredient found in marijuana. It's a drug to treat epilepsy. And for some patients who have tried it, it's been life-changing. We get details now from NBC News medical correspondent Dr. John Torres.
Tonight, a drug that's been proven to treat some severe forms of epilepsy is one step closer to getting in the hands of patients. The FDA's advisory panel unanimously recommended that Epidiolex be approved. The drug's active ingredient, the marijuana derivative, cannabidiol, also known as CBD. What this drug doesn't have, the ingredient in marijuana that gets people high, THC.
This is a historical moment in American medicine. It is a huge win for science, and most importantly, it's an enormous win for people with epilepsy.
People like 13-year-old Jack Zawakowski of Connecticut, who we first met last year. His mother, Jenny.
He was having seizure after seizure.
Up to 20 epileptic seizures a month. But when Jack started taking CBD in clinical trial, the results were dramatic. Now he rarely has a seizure. Doctors at today's hearing said CBD reduced seizures by up to 50%. There are CBD products currently sold online, but they have not been carefully studied and don't have the backing of the FDA. Today's findings open a door for approval of other marijuana-based medicines.
It may be effective in some inflammatory disorders of the GI system. There's evidence that it may be effective in some psychiatric disorders like anxiety and schizophrenia.
Final FDA clearance is expected in June, and the drug could be available by fall. Dr. John Torres, NBC News.
Coming up, the family with 13 sons and no daughters. Guess what happened with baby number 14? It's the end of an era for Cuba. For the first time in nearly 60 years, someone outside the Castro family is in power. Miguel Díaz-Canel is the new president of Cuba, taking over for 86-year-old Raul Castro, who would assume the office from his ailing brother Fidel Castro before his death in 2016. Raul Castro will remain the head of Cuba's Communist Party. Just over a week after making history by becoming the first senator to give birth while in office, Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth has achieved another milestone. Today, she became the first senator ever to bring a baby onto the Senate floor. Duckworth cast a vote with her newborn by her side just a day after the Senate changed its rules to allow infants on the floor during votes. And it's a boy. Again, for a family in Michigan, Jay and Kateri Schwant already had 13 sons and no daughters when they welcomed baby boy number 14 this week. Dad said earlier they would have loved a girl, but now he's just happy everyone is healthy. By the way, the odds of having 14 boys in a row, since you asked, they are less than 0.02%. We'll take a break. When we come back, how a police officer is using his viral fame as a game changer for kids across the nation. Those Who Serve is next. Finally, our look tonight at Those Who Serve might easily be called Those Who Shoot Hoops. It's about a Florida policeman who turned what could have been a negative interaction with some neighborhood kids into something positive when he took the matter, or in this case, the basketball, into his own hands. You may recall the viral video that made the rounds a few years ago, but wait till you see what it started. On any given afternoon, you'll find these kids here shooting hoops, thanks in part to an unlikely friend.
Mr. Bobby, he gives us somewhere to go. He's fantastic. Like, he came into our life and really helped us out.
Mr. Bobby is Officer Bobby White of the Gainesville Police Department, whose unusual response to a simple noise complaint 2 years ago made all this happen.
It was a guy calling about kids being loud, playing basketball in the street. For me, it wasn't a noise complaint at all. It was an opportunity to go meet some new kids.
Obviously, I ain't got no problem with it.
Officer White's reaction would turn out to be a game changer for this community.
He just said, hey guys, and then play your basketball with us. I was like, all right.
wow, he really dunked the ball because he had all his equipment. So
the video went viral.
People started sending basketball goals and balls to the police department saying, go do this again. We want to see more of this.
Officer White launched the Basketball Cop Foundation and started shipping donated basketballs and sports equipment to police departments across the country.
The mission is to connect cops and kids in a proactive, positive way.
The nonprofit has also built three courts in Gainesville.
It's been incredible. It was almost as a magnet onto the community.
He didn't come to school?
No. Officer White's reach goes beyond the court. He still keeps in touch with the boys in that video.
We're like best friends, like Shaq and Kobe. Every time I get like my report card, I tell them first before I tell my mom.
A policeman drawing a community closer together.
I'm just looking to create firsthand positive interactions so they have something real to form a perception on.
One basket at a time.
Like what he said, like Shaq and Kobe. Glad we could follow that story up. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.